All right. Now, if I could get up here. Take me a while here to get ready. But I have to do this a long time to hold Richard down. He'll be preaching at 11 o'clock tonight. Let me get my specs on. I can't see either. All right. Boy, I'm glad to be back up in Ohio. I had to miss last year, no clapping. Some guy back there wanted me to preach on tithing 20%. But that sound good to me. On my way up here, the first person I talked to in Ohio gave me an idea that I was getting old. I went into McDonald's and the young waitress there said, "Can I help you, sweetie?" So, if you go in a restaurant and they call you sweetie, well, you know how old you are, okay? lady wanted me to tell a joke, but I really don't have one. But I'll tell you about a personal experience I had this year. And I'm interested in all the newfangled electronics we've got going, even though I don't do too good at it. But I went to Walmart one day and I seen a program there. I wanted, the name of it was The Dragon. I don't know where you all have a dragon or not. But at any rate, it's one where you talk into it and it types out what you say. Well, I said, "Oh boy, I'm going to buy this and take it home, and I just talk into this thing and I don't have to type anymore or do anything." Well, after the first try or two, I found out it didn't know y'all. And yuns and all that good stuff. The way we talk, the way I talk down there, we got so many Yankees come in down there, I can't tell. But I tell you what they did. They really treated us dirty because all the Baptist churches down there meet on Wednesday nights. So what do? On Wednesday night, they go get an election on a whiskey bill. So they got it passed. So now we have liquor in the store and we don't have to call up a guy and say, "Bring us a fifth," or nothing like that. So we got all the convenience you all have. My subject tonight is triumphs in Christ, but I'll wait for the conclusion to bring that up. I have a verse that I'm going to go over, but first let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for another day, and thank you again, Lord, for another opportunity to stand. Pray, Lord, you bless this time and speak to our hearts in your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." So when I looked at this, I know that it says present evil world. Now if you think about this in times past, they had an evil world, did they not? Sure they did. They had an evil world. So back then, they had angels in Genesis chapter 6. And today, I've been around a long time now, and I've never seen an angel. Y'all ever seen one? No, me neither. God's not using angels today. But back then it was pretty rough, and God decided to destroy the earth with water. So times past, it was still that old evil world, right? And then if you look at ages to come, what's going to happen over there? You don't want to miss the rapture, because if you do, you're going to have to try to endure the tribulation period, and you're not going to do too good at that. So it's going to be a rough time over there. So that present evil world is different from what we have today. Now, when I say present evil world, what am I saying? I'm saying that not here on the earth, but also we have a world out there. Did Paul not tell us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12? Let's read that to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. So how do I do that? How do I fight against principalities and powers in high places? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I just want to give you an idea here, and then I'm going to get into a little bit different what's going on today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14 says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So today, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And the next thing says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness." So where do I find these guys that are ministers of righteousness? Where do I find them at? Well, I find them behind the pulpit. And I find them on the radio and TV asking you, here's what they do. If you send me your money, I can get the gospel out in all the world and the end will come, right? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 28, "Oh, we're going to all the world and preach the gospel." Well, that's what they say. Now, if you can't go, well, send me your money and I'll go. That's ministers of righteousness. Do good. Help your brother. Feed the poor. That is ministers of righteousness. They're trying to get you to do righteous works and think that will get you into God's favor. So you have that type of thing. Now, to fight against this, what you got to do? You got to know the doctrine, right? You got to know the doctrine of the church today, what Paul gives us. So if you know the doctrine of the church today, see, you won't get involved with that stuff. You will know better. So that's what it's all about here. So that's what's going on today. Now in ages to come, what are you going to have? God's going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. That's pretty bad times, right? And not only that, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, what happened? There's war in heaven. And Satan and his angels get cast out upon the earth. You don't want to be there. All that's going on, that's ages to come. So I want to look at some things. I want to look at some things here that will help you get through this present evil world. Now, Paul talks, gives us some instructions on how to live. He does that. And what we ought to do to get through this present evil world. In Romans chapter 12, I'm sure you all read all these, so I'm going to go over them again. Starting down in verse 9. Romans 12, 9. These are just instructions that Paul gives us to live by. And if we live by these, then we will be triumphant over this present evil world. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abort that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Remember one thing, you're in Christ, right? You have a new mind. You can do good before you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't do good. Everything you did was against God. But now, you have a new mind. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Now you can do good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Put other people first. Instead of what you want, you ought to try to see what other people need. See if you can do good in that manner. All right, number 11. Verse 11, not slothful in business. You know, when I used to read this verse, I thought in my business, I thought I was supposed to be honest, not lazy, do everybody the same way. But really and truly, it says fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Really, this is talking, what business have we all got? I mean, each individual in this room today has a business. The Lord has given you a ministry. Has he not? Sure he does. It's not just the guy standing behind the pulpit that has a ministry. Every saved person in the body of Christ has a ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We all read these many, many times. Verse 18, all things are God who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Given to us. That includes everybody. Everybody that's in the body of Christ, you have the ministry of reconciliation. And if you go on down there in verse 9, what else do you have? You have the word of reconciliation. How in the world could you ever tell people how to be saved if you don't, if you're saved yourself, you ought to be able to tell them what happened to you, right? That's pretty simple. You have the word right there. You have the word of God. You have that. And you know what else? You got a high office. God gave you a high office to fulfill. He made you an ambassador for Christ. Verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. So that's where you're at in the body of Christ. You have a ministry. You have the word. and you have an office to fulfill. You are representing your heavenly home here on the earth. And that's what it's all about. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation. That's a hard one there. You know, people tell me all the time that patience works tribulation. I try to stay away from that patience stuff. I have no need for it. Tribulation. But that's where you're at. Patient in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. You know, we can apply that verse. Did Paul not tell us that? To pray without ceasing. One of the verses over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's just a short verse. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Well, you have this message on your heart all the time. That's how you do it. You're praying without ceasing. Verse 13, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, the 20% I mentioned earlier, we're not under that, right? I don't have to give 20%, I don't have to give 10%, but I have liberty today in the age of grace to give 100%. Amen. If I want to. You know, it says not to give it begrudgingly. What does that mean? Well, if I put a dollar in the thing and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, you ought to keep it. God don't need it. A ministry might. But we don't have that. We should take care of the necessities of the saints. You know, that's where we fail at, really. You know what we depend upon today? Food stamps. You don't go to the church and ask for food anymore. You go to the government and they'll hand it out to you. We have turned everything, the responsibility of the local church, over to the government. We really have. Necessities of the saints. We're not under the law. We're not obligated. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, if you have an enemy that's persecuting you, you know what you ought to do? I've tried this and it really works. Call him up, call her up, and say, is there anything I can do for you? That just drives them wild. Try it. And that's what he says to do. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind. One with another. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but men of low estate. You know, you might have a lot of money. I know a lot of people that's got a lot of money that dress even worse than I do. But, you know, they're still your brother, right? Doesn't matter what position in life you have. If I did that, well, you know, a lot of people won't talk to you. Not too much. How far am I going here? Recompense to no, no man evil for evil. Provide things, honesty in the sight of all men. Here's a good one in verse 18. If it be possible, I want you to get that. If it be possible, there's a big word there, and it's if. As much as lie in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, I read over in the book of Matthew where the Lord said, if he slaps you on the right cheek, will turn the other one also. Have you ever tried that? You know, I thought about that when I was reading these verses. If somebody slapped me on the right cheek and I could get up off the floor, I don't know where. I don't know where I could live peaceably or not. But if it be possible, you should do that. Yeah. Here's a good one in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For he is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, we're not to avenge ourselves. Let the Lord take care of it. You know, he's got a judgment seat one of these days for us Christians or believers, I put it that way. You know, I hate to use that word Christian any longer. You know, I tell people, look, I am not in the Christian religion. That's where they place you. They place you in a religion. I'm not in a Christian religion. I'm in a body. And that's the problem. A religion, you know what a religion is? This is just my definition. You don't have to believe it or not. But a religion is where you have to do something to try to please God. And we know that he already did it all, and we can't do nothing to please God because he already done it for us. And that's what you've got to realize. That's what you've got to see. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. We're supposed to take care of our enemies. You know, that's a hard thing to do. Really hard. Verse 21. Be not overtaken of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. Do good. And then, here, I want to read Colossians chapter 2, if you turn there. In Colossians chapter 2, when we're talking about this religion thing, you know, Paul gives us instructions on how to live in this present evil world. Has God taken care of the religious aspect of this? Sure he has. Look what he's done here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you be dead in your trespasses, and dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you, how many sins? All trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. And what did he do with it? He nailed it to the cross. Do you see that? I mean, when you read that verse right there, you ought to know that you're not under any commandments of what we are, religion that they try to force on you. You know, he nailed it to the cross. What else can be done to it? having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. There's that principalities and powers. That's what we've been talking about. That's what it's all about. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. You know, if you want to eat pork, well, go right ahead. It might kill you, but go ahead and eat it. You can. You know, I've been eating sausage every day of my life, probably. As long as I got able to get to the table. And I know I'm in bad shape, see. Got all these stents running everywhere. But you can eat it. You know what a hog is? He's a garbage eater. You know, we're not under the law over there. But he gives you some pretty strict instructions. If you eat that stuff, you know what's going to happen to you. And they say, oh boy, we just love that old shrimp. You ought to check out what they eat. You know, I've got liberty today to eat anything I want to. Boy, I can't stand most of it, though. Or in drink. I don't think this means that you can drink a bottle of whiskey every night or a case of beer. I don't think that at all. Or in respect of a holiday. Here's where I really have a problem. You know, I finally reached the age where I could hide my own Easter eggs. And now, what I do? I found out that I'm not supposed to be celebrating holidays. If I'd have found that out years ago, I'd have been most happy. But then I could remember where I hid it. Or the new moon. You know, we look at that almanac that Richard's talking about, and it tells you what the moon, you know. My daddy always looked at that thing, and he wouldn't plan it if it was on some sign of the moon. I don't know what it was. But that's probably why when I plant stuff, it don't do too good. I don't sow it on the moon. I just put it in the ground. And it goes on to say, or of the Sabbath day. You know, we don't have a day. My goodness. In the age of grace, a day don't mean anything. We don't have all this holiday stuff. You know, I have come to a conclusion in my life that I only have two holidays I celebrate. One of them is the 4th of July. And the other one is Thanksgiving. All the rest of them are Catholic oriented. You all know that. All the religious holidays. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. But you get criticized for all that stuff. You mean you don't put up a Christmas tree? You must be a Jehovah's Witness. All right, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now thank be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see what that verse said? I want to show you about this savor here in just a moment. Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Look over at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2. This gives you a little bit more idea of what this savor is. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. There you have it. His death, his burial, his resurrection. You know, that's something that we ought to take with us everywhere we go. And that's what it's all about. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and I'm finished. Father, we come to you again, thanking you, Lord, and praising you for what you've done for us, and that you died on the cross for our sins, and that you was buried and took our sins away. And most of all, Lord, you raised again the third day for our justification. We thank you and praise you for that. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Take a break. When you hear the music, we'll get started.
You unhook me, brother.
Warm up here?
Yeah, a little bit. Not too bad.